This podcast is supported by The Real Real.
You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The Stool Podcast.
What do we want?
Mr. Stool!
Dad, who the hell are these assholes?
They're so mean. Those kids are real losers.
We don't want your music.
You're their board business.
Yeah, they're so embarrassed.
To win any motherfucker always be funny.
It's pathetic.
Nice work, you dunce.
Your leg has come across my beach rim.
One of my favorites is the grapist, dude.
Oh, yeah.
What? He's the grapist. Wait, she was asking for it? What? She's wearing purple. Grape you in the mouth. Yeah, it's a grape drink.
Oh, shit.
They were brilliant, man. Yeah, I fucking love them.
Too good, dude. It's on Prime or something now.
It's on YouTube for free, but it's not edited. What is it called? Censored. Yeah.
I think it's on Prime or fucking one of those. It's the whole all their shit's on
I
there.
Like the
dude, that's good.
Oh my
God. That is so fucking funny.
Something I say all the time is like, come here, skinny. Come here, you fat piece of shit.
Come here, skinny. Come here, you fat piece of shit. That's just so,
so good.
Fucking funny.
So
dude.
Good, man.
That is so funny because.
They're just good at dialogue. They're good at writing.
Yeah,
Zach, shout out Zach Krager, man. There you go. Fucking we just talked about Weapons.
Oh yeah,
director
right.
of Weapons, mm-hmm. director of Barbarian. Moved
great,
on to awesome
great
things.
Movies, too.
Great horror movies.
Yeah, super dope.
I really feel like. Oh really?
Are we?
Oh, where
are we now? Oh, are we now? Is that what we're doing now, buddy? Buddy,
oh,
old
shit.
Pal.
Well, I mean, I guess one of us could introduce. I am Jason Voorhees, and you are watching the Stool Podcast. This is the spooky edition.
Yeah. Why are you going back and forth between us, dude? Pick
because
one
it's
and stick
spookier?
With it. Hey, Demon, pick one. I know it's been a while since you've been here, but pick one and stick with it.
Yeah, rule number five. Pick one and stick one. Oh, there he is, Demon. Demon's back.
You know I'm right here. I can hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Incredible. What a spectrum, this motherfucker.
His mouth moves, too. My bad. We got his cousin here today, too.
Yes.
He's right here in the middle. I don't know if you guys could see him.
All right. To my left, I have Johnny Savage in a mask.
Here I am. Thank you for watching another episode of the Stool Podcast and the Spooky Studio. My name is Johnny, a.k.a. Johnny Savage.
Let's not do the Crypt Keeper thing.
Huh?
Let's not do the Crypt Keeper thing. You want to introduce our guest first?
I will. And two Dell's waiting for him to go back to me. And today we got a very special guest in studio. Super dark looking, scary guy. We had to try to mount to his scariness. We got Callus in the studio today with us.
That's where the audience usually is piped in. I guess that mic is not working today. Yeah.
We got to make it sound like whatchamacallit sounds.
Yeah.
It's like.
So, yeah, talk about yourself a little bit.
Let us know who you are, Callus. Well, you came from the underworld. He came from parts unknown.
Parts unknown. I hear it's nice in the summer, not as nice in the winter.
Okay.
But yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Shit. Well, everything just went out the fucking window. Anything that I knew about myself just left. Fuck.
I'm a masked man. I make music.
Fuck.
What are you drinking on today over there?
I'm drinking an unlabeled pina colada.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Guys, Malibu's most wanted.
I came in and they fucked me up the minute I got here. That's why I can't think.
There you go.
This is the thing. Come to me real quick, Mick. This is the thing. This is episode number 50, guys. This is a big
benchmark.
Milestone for us. Shit, I've been drinking too much already.
Yeah.
A big milestone for us. And this is why it's going to be fun. Yeah, I did drink a lot of that already.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a fun episode. Like I said, we got a special guest, Callus, today. And we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about dark, evil things.
Movies. The spooky season.
Horror movies. Spooky season. This is what we're going to do today. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a very good time. Now, Mr. Callus.
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself. And what do you do? You write music.
I write music, yeah. I'm in a band of sorts, but it's kind of just me at this point.
Right.
I would love to have other people part of this. But a lot of people.
Well, there you
aren't.
Go. There's our first plug. If you play what, bass, drums, what are we looking for?
I need a whole band because I write everything right now, but I would love to collaborate with some other people who don't mind wearing a fucking mask.
Nice.
We're right here.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this guy's definitely a musician to my left here. He plays, what is it, triangle?
Triangle.
You're a percussionist.
Skin, flute,
you've done
else?
Cowbell like once or twice.
We could use a triangle.
Bling, bling. I've been there.
But yeah, I mean, I talk about your music a little bit.
I write whatever I feel, but it's mostly coming out as metal.
Okay.
There are a few songs here and there that have a very somber vibe.
Do you have like a specific production process you follow, or like do you like kind of like wing it? Like, oh, I have this guitar riff, so it starts a song. Oh, I think this drum part sounds cool, so it starts a song.
I don't know. Sometimes I'll hear a sound and I'll look for that sound or try to create it myself. And once that bass is in the song or in the project, I record everything myself. I have Logic, thanks to Mick. And
Mick couldn't be here today. Thank you for letting us use the whole studio and everything. But Demon is filling in. We appreciate that, Mick. But yeah, so you home studio kind of deal?
Home studio. I write everything myself. Thankfully, I recently got to re-record my album coming out with James from Small Voice. We did a collab too.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, he's been recording a lot of shit with me.
That's nice. Cool.
And,
that's
very cool. Yeah,
we got that song. We'll cue that up in a little bit. Tell us about how that collab came about.
Mutual friends. Our videographer Brian Legacy.
I know Brian. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with him. Yeah.
Right. So he recorded with Small Voice, and then he recorded. He recorded with me, and then he recorded with Small Voice, and I don't know, I guess James just liked the style, the vocals, so he said, hey, dude, like, I feel like we could do something, and it'd be really fucking out there, too, because of the way you look and your whole vibe and, you know, the whole contrast thing, and I think it went pretty well.
Yeah, it's a dope video. I've seen it. So I already know about it already, but
yeah,
it's a dope video.
Great fucking cool. People too.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I met James. He's awesome.
Yeah,
Brian's a really cool, good looking guy.
Has he been on?
Huh? Brian?
I don't think James. So.
Either. No. I want to get
I
him
don't
on
think
though.
So yeah,
I'm with
that'd
you.
Be that'd be fucking
yeah,
sick.
I think it'll be a fun episode with him. We definitely got to make that happen.
Hell yeah!
You have to give me his information. Wait, yeah. Do I have his? I think I might have his number actually. To be honest.
I have it. If you don't, I'll give it to you.
There you go.
I know I follow him on everything. Boom.
Right.
But we do talk sometimes.
But so when it comes down to like the writing production stuff, you do all like the releasing yourself.
I do everything myself. Yeah. And I feel like that's a very modern thing in today's age.
I mean, if you're able to like find the time to literally cater to a project like that, it's like sort of necessary, to do all of that, the marketing. Like when it comes to like all the, like the marketing that you have to do on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, you know, social media that you use, do you always just kind of present it as just kind of your thing, like your project, or is it like you're trying to like bring people into the fold and like have more characters added to your whole thing?
I would like to bring more people in. I don't know. Sorry, I fucking blanked out there for a second.
No, you're good.
Because I was going to say something about the mask thing, because it's not really a character thing. It's more so of like a personalization and self-expression type of thing. And I started with this whole fucking thing because I have like severe anxiety. And this thing, when it started when I was a part of a haunted house for a while, I realized that the mask made me be a little bit more myself.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. People often like to refer us to other bands that do this spiel, but that's not why I started this. But I understand that we're constantly going to get compared to other.
Yeah, no, I mean, well, because I mean, yeah, there's like that dichotomy of like theatricism to a band. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, like I was just curious as to like, so there's like a band like Ghost, right? And like it's just like the main guy, he wears a mask, and everybody else is just kind of just themselves or whatever.
I wouldn't mind, like if I had a full band, I wouldn't mind if anybody else just kind of like wore whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'd like to be uniform, because I feel like if I was to ever perform, I would want everyone to be kind of uniform, to let you know, rather than just get on stage with like jeans and a t-shirt.
Right.
Do you build a lot of like lore behind Callus, or is it just, it's just kind of,
it's just me. There's no lore.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, that's that. Well, I kind of like that.
Right.
Because there's, like I said, I mean, best reference I have is like a band like Ghost, where it's like literally there's like this whole like story to how this is,
right,
versus it's like, no, we just kind of like wearing masks, and that's what we do, and if you enjoy it, that's cool, right?
I appreciate the whole lore, the story, these creatures, but also at the same time I'm like, I'm already doing something that's been already done. Why am I gonna make these characters gigantic when you don't have to?
I'm here for the music. Let's do some theatrical stage stuff. That's it.
Over everything, I just want you to look at the fucking music. I could wear a blank mask, but then people are gonna say that I'm a Joey Jordison tribute.
I feel like through that like kind of uniquity, like you just, you know, like you. In any gig or any, you know, show you might play, you immediately get an opportunity to stand out.
Yeah.
And then you take that opportunity and then you kind of use it and run in whatever direction you can. And that's how you kind of build like a true following, is people are like, I actually like this. You know what I mean? Like, because to me, it's like one of the things, it's like, like theatrical bands, there's always this element of it, you know, to where it's like the fans are so diehard and they know every little bit. So it's almost like feels like isolating when you're like new to it and you're like trying to get into it. And then there's all these people who are like already super into it. And you're like, I don't know shit about this. I just like the songs or whatever, you know? And then if there's that looseness to it, you know, if there's a looseness to, this is just our style. You know, that's it, you know, and then we play our music. And if you guys like the music, then that to me is like, all right, cool. Entry level, you're already on board.
My biggest thing is, aside from the mask, I feel like, I don't know, man, the mask makes me feel more myself. I've already said that, but, shit, I was pausing for the edit, but now I forgot.
Is it easier to, it's like, you know, kind of basically it makes it easier on stage to just kind of get cut loose and do what you want?
I could wear like paint and stuff, but also I feel like, and you could put this in or not, but, cause I don't want to be that controversial. I also feel like, if people saw like my nationality and stuff, they would already be biased as to how I'm gonna sound. Like I play games online with some friends, and I have one friend that I play with every single day. He thinks I'm a certain race just because of the way I talk. And I'm like, this guy has no idea.
Right.
Like, we're going to meet for the first time this month.
And he's going to be hella surprised.
And he's going to be like, what the
Yo, I thought you were black, dude.
Yeah, something like that.
you definitely.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
He gave me Asian vibes over.
Right. when he's playing the game, he's like, hey, so you know what, if you grab the gun like this, and you shoot it like this, just to fuck with him.
I'll just change
the dialect
every single day.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's funny, you know, that's a big thing. Thank you, Demon. And it's funny, there's a huge thing right now, I would say in the last like probably like at least like decade or so, that where I don't know how to put this like diplomatically, basically like marginalized races in the scene, you know, have been like, we're going to go fucking do whatever the fuck we want.
Right.
And it's making more prominence for, you know, like more diverse bands and stuff like that. And, to me, it's like, that's one of the things where it's like, Ohio emo is not owned by white people.
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Exactly. Anybody could do it.
Yeah. Anybody could do that shit. It's one of those things where, Robs is not the right word, but it completely just wipes the slate clean of like even that part going through your head as a fan or a listener. Right. You're like, that's not even a part of
it. Like, I grew up around, I grew up in the ghetto, so I grew up around a lot of mixed, you know, cultures and shit. I grew up with friends, with black friends who would listen to metal and have their family yelling at them like, you're black, you're not supposed to listen to that. And I'm like, who's to say what anyone's supposed to listen to ever?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's music. It's supposed music. To speak
whatever,
to you.
Whatever speaks to you is what speaks to you. You know? And it's so funny to me how marginalizing things can become when it comes down to literally like how you're raised or where you're raised or, you know, the people you're raised around. the kind of music that seems acceptable, or the, you know, to the other side of the rainbow on that, like the kind of music that you're like, you know what, I'm in my teenage years, I'm trying to be rebellious. Right. I'm trying to not listen to the stuff that my friends and family and the people around me listen to. And so you end up like kind of branching out and finding these new avenues and different kind of styles of music that speak to you. And, that to me is like, it's crazy how, yeah, like race has a lot to do with that. I never really thought about that so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. But yeah, no, I mean, that, I could see how that's pretty freeing, you know, on stage with the mask and everything. Yeah. Just like, you know, all right, that element is completely removed.
There's going to be a point where people know who the fuck I am. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I just want everyone to know, like, try not to think about what my actual face looks like. Like, listen to what, you know, what I have to say. Cause like a lot of times when I'm making music, I feel like it's not me making it. It's like somebody else's experience has channeled me to express for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, and that's, that to me is one of the reasons you do music, art, you know, whatever you do, whatever format you do it in, is to just like, not even to be gratified with what you created so much, but so like so much more to relate to other people through a thing that you create. You know?
I feel like the internet today is making more and more people feel alone,
mm-hmm.
and it's up to creators' jobs to bridge that gap.
Creatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creatives, is especially musicians. Yeah. Do a lot of that.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Like,
I agree with that.
We're so fucking divided today. Yeah. Like,
as a people,
we're so divided, left, right, middle, whatever you are. Like, it's almost like they want us divided so mm-hmm. that we don't fucking get together and collaborate. And can you imagine how many fucking people can make a storm? Mm-hmm. If we all get together?
If we all got together and fucking said the same thing, we can make a huge impact in this world.
It's like the fucking scene in A Bug's Life.
Yeah.
You ever seen that?
Yeah. One ant can't do nothing but a million ants, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's something so real. I feel like it's something I've mentioned before, you know, on here, but definitely I feel like the idea that we had this like 1 year, 2 year window where like, holy shit, people at home can make music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We can make music now just in a garage, in a fucking bedroom and like whatever. And then immediately that was swooped up and already like monetized on in a way that bastardized it and then made it like, okay, cool. Yeah, we could do that. But now, okay, we're going to invent Spotify. So now all the music that, you know, the person in their bedroom created, they're competing now with the people who are still making records for millions of dollars and, you know, competing with the big budgets and all these things. And that's like you get lost in this sea of content. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like there's no way to truly curate your own taste in a way that would have been more natural, you know, before when it really had to, it had to count. It had to matter. You know, so I don't know. It's a crazy thing, man. I feel like we had such opportunity with the internet to just say, anybody could be a musician and anybody could write an awesome song that lasts through the ages. And then immediately it got absconded.
Which is also why I love Apple for adding GarageBand to all their phones and all their laptops just from the jump.
Yeah.
Because I believe it was a quote from Steve.
You can be creative everywhere, and anywhere.
Yeah, I believe that is the quote from Steve Jobs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. he said at least one person in every family is a creative, and I just want to give them the platform to do so, to exercise that creativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why with every like phone or tablet, laptop purchase, fucking GarageBand was automatically on there so people can see if they have that creative fucking flow, which I think everyone does in one way or another.
Yeah, I believe that too. Everybody has a certain creative bone in their body that's gonna actually, could actually be used.
I mean,
used.
There's some people.
Johnny, you have something right here.
Hmm? Oh,
right here. Yeah, right there.
Right there?
Right there. There. You got it. What were you saying?
I think I got it.
But yeah, no, dude, I mean, I am at a loss for words on it at this point, you know, because, you know, I could complain about it or whatever, but, in reality, yeah, it just makes the whole realm more competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it makes...
I'll rebuttal by saying the more musicians we have, the more bands we have, the fucking better. Because I'm tired of seeing the same two bands on every fucking bill every fucking year.
Yeah,
we need more bands that are good to fucking open up
new
avenues.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Because we've talked about, like, the big festivals, right? You know, right. We have the When We Were Young, and what was the other one? The
Aftershock just passed. Aftershock.
Crazy Fest or something
like
that.
What's the other one? The one's, like, all new metal
not,
and shit.
That's not When We Were Young.
Fuck. The other one.
Anyways, we know what we're talking about.
Went. Sick New World.
Sick New World.
That's fucking bullshit.
But anyways,
where did that go?
It got canceled this year.
It got canceled, and then I think they're working on a new.
Why'd it get canceled? So here's one of the things that
the bigger bands couldn't negotiate a payout.
Deal, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, here's one of the things that I love to revel in.
What a fucking thing.
Yeah, no, I love to revel in this shit just because, I mean, this is exactly what I was calling when I saw, Warped Tour's coming back, and, we're doing the, When We Were Young, and everything that, when I was coming up, all the bands that I would see in small venues and in, like, little clubs and stuff, that's sort of still to this day, it's my speed. When I go to a club and I don't even know the bands that are playing, usually I'll walk away with at least, like, one band. I'm like, I like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I go for.
Festivals are very important.
And to me, this is, like, the festivals and all this stuff, it's, like, the best comparison I can make to it, it's, like, delicious Maine lobster versus cereal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you want your entertainment the same speed as Lucky Charms and fucking Fruity Pebbles,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying it's not good. It tastes delicious, but guess what? It's fucking cereal. You know, that's what these festivals feel like. They're cereal. It's like made like to order, like fucking cookie cutter. Here's how we're going to do it. And then also like these.
Are you talking about lineup or?
No, I'm talking about like, for example, like when they play. Like they don't get to really put on a show like Warped Tour this year.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know they had like they just basically have this big LCD screen.
It's a demo CD in person.
Yeah, it's like this big LCD screen, and then they set up a light. They set up some sort of like light show.
It's like basic shit.
Yeah, and then as opposed to like each individual band having their performances.
I also feel like that's what festivals are for, to give you a little fucking taste of.
But that's my point. Is like I said, it's like very objective there, like or subjective, where it's like if you want Maine lobster, go to a club.
Oh yeah,
and watch a band.
Go see that band
exactly.
On their own.
Yeah, play in a little club and really do their work.
Yeah,
and then if you want cereal, which like I'm saying, it's not good. Go to a festival.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense.
Hey,
so let's check out your song. What song did you bring today?
Ethereal. That's the most recent one. I have some demos out there on Spotify and whatever, but this is the very last pro production that I released.
Oh, very nice. I'm trying to make the mouth move.
Yeah.
This was are we doing commentary?
Yeah, we'll talk through it. Yeah.
Talk through it. Yeah.
This was the last video that Brian Legacy recorded.
Looks pretty as hell.
Oh, nice.
I already like the. Oh, shit. So you do everything.
I do everything. I do everything, and I got some really good friends to play the part for the music video.
Very cool, very cool.
Whoever you got to fill in on bass is hot. What's her name? No. How long?
It looks good.
How long did it take you to shoot this video?
I'm sorry?
How long did it take you to shoot this video?
Brian works in fucking... He's so fucking quick, bro. It took like 5 hours max. That's with...
Filming hours?
That's with getting ready.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
He makes quick work.
He has a really like snappy workflow.
Yeah.
I've noticed it.
That's cool. He's just all about getting it done. Yeah, and then he kind of knows what he wants already.
We talk before we start filming, and he'll be like, okay, I have an idea, and we're going to run with that. Because we originally had a different idea for that video that was going to be all indoors and super dark. Ooh. But he started looking around the land, which I thank one of my really good friends, fucking childhood friends, for allowing me to record that in his backyard. He was looking around the land. He was like, let's do it out here. Like, what the fuck are we doing with all this land? You want to film it inside of the fucking house? So he had that idea, and I was like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah,
and it turned out beautiful.
It came out great. Yeah, it looks good.
Let's hear a little more.
Idiot. What, guys?
What's up?
It's heavy too. Yeah, no, it came out really nice.
You do all this on Logic?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you go somewhere for mastering or anything like that?
This song specifically was mastered by somebody else. But I'm actually re-recording this song and every other song that's been released, I've re-recorded and revamped them. So I'm now going with a new producer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which is
the same producer that James has. He's new.
Oh, okay.
Nice. He's a new guy. He does really well. He does like Thal shit.
Oh, okay.
So Callus is gonna go a little Thal in the coming months.
Well, it is fall time, so fall, Thal makes
fall,
sense.
Thal in the fall.
Thal
in the fall.
That should be a festival.
Yeah.
That should be a bumper sticker.
Trademark.
We're doing it.
Trademark.
Don't even think about it, guys.
Oh, it's here first.
I was going to say, go back to it. Why did we stop playing it, man? You're playing it, but we're not listening. We're not watching it, dude. What the fuck, demon? Get your head out of your ass, dude.
He can't.
The devil put him there.
Yeah. That's his damnation.
I will say, there's a certain something about your guitar player. I really like what he's doing.
He's good. He's good. I think it's because he's originally a bassist.
Oh.
So there's a little something there. Mm. He has a certain vibe.
He just got that groove.
He's a little heavy-handed.
He's got that groove.
He's got that groove on him already.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
That's what it is. Okay. I like it. I knew he was special.
I want to work with that guy a lot more.
Oh, okay.
He has a lot of crazy thoughts.
You got to let him know.
So you've seen this video, Johnny?
Yeah, I've seen this video.
Why have you watched this video like ahead of the time? Like instead of saving it for the podcast?
Huh? No, we watched some Callus before that when we had our friend Michael Lamelli on.
Oh.
We watched it.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. I like that guy. I like that guy.
Yeah, me too.
I miss it. We should have him back on sometime.
No.
No.
Never.
You don't think so?
No. Nice.
No, I don't know who any of these people are. I'm sorry.
Oh, Numa. What are you doing, Mick?
I mean, it's just playing by itself.
He was like, I wanted to watch some fucking Tool.
And up next we have that Baby Metal.
Specifically, is so beautiful. No, that's a great song, man. I really liked it. I really liked it a lot. I mean, sure. I listen to Callus. I'm a fangirl a little what bit, you know. Fuck? I like it. I like it. I think it's great music. I think it's fun. I think the whole mass thing is kind of something that I like, you know. And right. You know,
I grew up with nu metal, so fucking
just kind of fits.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
What would you say? Or
I cannot see the fucking thing, bro. Like,
what would you say are your biggest?
You could be looking at him
influences.
Right now. My biggest influences. Fuck, man, I'm not gonna lie. Black Sabbath.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
The first album. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's perfect front to back. The song Black Sabbath is actually what inspired the intro to Abscess.
Okay. Mm. And you were saying something about you think it's one of the spookiest tracks.
It's the spookiest track. It's like it's
blow it up.
It's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody else says. It's perfect.
Okay. Let's pull that up, Mick. Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath.
Yeah. Yes. That and Jesus fucking Christ, when Ozzy died, I had so many plans to create more videos for the following, and after that happened, I fucking lost it.
Mm.
Like, I'm still mourning, and it's been like 3 months, and I can't believe it's been 3 months.
Yeah, that is actually crazy. It did go by fucking quick.
It feels like it happened
that
fucking last
week.
That does
not feel like 3 months ago.
It did not.
That's crazy.
like 2 weeks ago.
Two to 3 months ago, but like, holy shit, what was it? Like 2 months? Three?
Do you want me to Google it?
Oh, it was in July. Holy fucking shit.
It was in July.
Bro.
What?
I'm done.
What?
Get me out of this fucking chair. Yeah, this song is so beautiful.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Oh, this is the live version. Fuck yeah.
Even better.
It's so much better live.
Do you guys ever think about, like, back in that heyday of, like, recording, like, especially, you know, kind of trying to pioneer sounds like metal or punk, you know, the bands when they would record, instead of the way we do it now, you know, we do it part by part, or we do it individually, like, oh, I'm doing the bass now.
They did that shit live.
They did that
Those
shit live sometimes.
One take. They probably ran through it a couple
like 30
of times.
Yeah.
A couple of times, and, like, we just want to make sure we get the right fucking takes.
Yeah.
But fuck, dude, like,
it's a great song. I know.
They're so dialed in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My God, they're like fucking Gojira. Because Gojira live is
you know who I miss?
Dialed.
You know what band I miss? And I feel like I wish, like, even when like they came out, I was like, this band's gonna be huge, and I kind of had like big hopes for The Faceless.
The Faceless
is like not around anymore.
No, no.
You know they don't do anything.
The Faceless has always been just freaking what's his name?
It's like the one guy.
The name again?
I saw them. Last time I saw them was with From a Second Story Window. Remember those guys?
Who the fuck was that?
It's like another like
I don't remember that.
Similar like tech metal band.
Fuck, what's his name, dude? I can't think of it.
Bummer.
Now it's gonna fuck with me. But I saw Faceless at fucking it's in Claremont, that little small fucking
PBW?
Bar. No, in Claremont.
Gideon's Hall.
No.
Oh, that's James's venue.
Yeah, that's James's venue.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know James, the guy James that we're talking about. That's his venue.
No shit. Small voice, James.
Michael Keane.
No shit.
Yeah,
Michael Keane.
Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton.
Imagine Michael Keaton was the guy, the brains behind the Faceless.
That would be funny as fuck. But it would.
But he's like
low key. I wouldn't be surprised.
He's like a low-key mastermind.
I always knew he was more of a talent, you know? I always knew he was more of a talent.
He's just talking to his bandmates like fucking Beetlejuice and shit.
That's what, we don't fucking see him for long periods of time. He's doing the faceless.
Right. I just got done putting out a new record. It was basically...
new record coming out. Check it out, baby.
Basically, we're doing a lot of different time signatures. It's a lot of metal. You're going to like it.
That's perfect. I knew you had that in you. That's why I was like, let me try to pass this to Anthony.
Fuck, dude, when I was a kid, dude, I would Beetlejuice, I would fucking just imitate all his lines, man.
That's freaking great. But I saw the event, that little fucking, it's a little bar, dude. It's fucking sick. I seen so many good bands there. Avenged Sevenfold did a signing there, and that was dope. And Johnny Christ and M Shadows are both at the bar, like fucking making drinks for people and shit. It was sick.
That's so sick.
But I seen the Faceless, and I fucking can't remember who else. But I talked to Michael Keane, and I was like, the one thing I wanted to ask him, I was like, yo, I went to him, I was like, yo, you a Mr. Bungle fan or what? And he was like, yeah, I fucking love Bungle. And I was like, hell yeah, I knew it. I just knew it because of the way that he writes and like his little intricate, like weird shit is very Mr. Bungle.
I love Bungle. Yeah. Going back to real quick to Avenged Sevenfold, and this is like, it shows you just how shallow I am as like a musician here.
Yeah.
But like one of the things that always like, I was like, that's the fucking coolest about Avenged Sevenfold. Fuck the musicianship, which obviously they're great musicians and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the fact that they have one right-handed and one left-handed guitarist
is so
tight.
So fucking sick with the back-to-back.
It's so tight.
God damn, bro.
It's such a dumb detail to like love, but like, it's fuck, great. That's cool.
Like you would think that they planned that, but it's completely natural and organic. It's fucking amazing.
It's pretty badass, actually. I never even thought about that.
I thought he was going to say something about like their Danny Elfman-style riffs.
It's fucking sick,
love that. Yeah, shit. Whatever it is. I mean, I'm not super familiar with music theory, but you could tell they like studied that.
No,
because
Sinister Gates and the Rev always used to talk about Danny Elfman's music style.
Yeah, they probably take a lot of influence and like use those chord and
a little piece of heaven. Are you fucking kidding me? That's
crazy.
Not a straight Danny Elfman riff.
Exactly. And they also say that they're Bungle fans. So
anybody
that's Bungle fans,
they fucking did Retro Vertigo.
Yeah, they did Retro Vertigo.
Fucking
cover.
Perfect.
And so sick. Yeah, pretty dope.
So nice.
So all I'm saying is so much good bands say that they're Bungle fans.
Honestly, bro, I think every band came from Bungle. Bungle was like they are the umbrella.
Yeah, exactly.
For a lot of nu metal.
For nu metal, yeah, exactly.
Because you
like
listen to Chino Moreno doing the squeals.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you go back fucking 5-10 years and hear fucking Mike Patton doing the same thing.
Exactly.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yep, exactly. I say it all the time, man.
It still blows my mind how brilliant Mike Patton is
insane.
Of like all the stuff he's done, right? Movies.
Uh-huh.
He does like full soundtracks for movies.
Yep.
That guy's
and
crazy.
Phantomas
is my favorite.
Like literally, like dude, he's like to me, he's exactly what a musician should be.
Somebody who just doesn't stop creating. I heard
and it's like it's not mainstream shit either.
Mm-mm.
It's his own shit. Sorry. Sorry. That's all. Sorry. I kept on going. Sorry.
I just love him, you know?
You know, if Mike Patton were here, could we get him on the line? No.
I would lose my mind, dude.
But yeah, what were you gonna say? I'm sorry,
I fucking forgot, bro.
You know he's got attention span of a fucking goldfish.
Get
this
shit out before he fucking forgot.
It's slipping through my fingers right now.
Yeah, I was like, ah.
But yeah, Bungle, Phantomas, Mike Patton.
Oh, I heard from somebody that he did.
Oh, that's what it was. I heard from somebody. I remember that.
I thought he was gonna keep going. I heard from somebody that Mike Patton did the fucking Call of Duty Zombies.
I don't know. No. Okay.
Did
so
he do a zombie?
He did. So he did the zombies from I Am Legend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was his voice.
Those guys were more like vampires.
Yeah, they were vampire zombies.
Vampiric.
Yeah. And then he also did the video game The Darkness. He did the Darkness' voice. Yeah. You ever play that game?
No.
It's a shooter game. But there's this guy, he's like, it's like mob shit, I guess.
Okay.
And this guy has like a special ability, I guess, or like a demon attached to him.
Right.
Where these tentacles come out and they like, they'll fight, they'll help you fight and shit.
Oh, what the
but
fuck?
They also talk. And these tentacles, you know,
Venom.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of like Venom. But he does
the
voice.
What is he doing?
He does the voices. He does the voices for for the like tentacle demon thing that's attached to this guy. Yeah, it's pretty sick.
I'm so amazed by that guy's
And then he also did so if you ever played Portals, the game Portals?
Yeah,
bro. Portal or Portals?
Portal?
I'm in the tunnel.
Go back. I need that one.
I'm
so
in
well.
The tunnel. I did it in my costume.
It's funny. I put on this mask earlier to see if it would fit, right? To see if it would fit, and it's got a cape. But I didn't have my shirt on. So I was like looking in the mirror. I was like, I am Los Tortuga. It does look like a fucking, like a Lucha Libre mask, right?
Yeah, it does.
It looks like a Lucha Libre mask? I think so.
We got fucking Donatello over here.
Donatello. No, it's Retard Fael. That's who I am.
Donatello? Oh shit, dude, that's fucking funny. I don't even remember what I was talking about anymore. I can't look at you, dude. Turtle power.
I like turtles.
Oh shit, man, that's so funny.
That was honestly, that was legitimately mixed timing right there. that was all mixed timing.
Cowabunga.
You know what's fucked up is I really do a fucking almost flawless Nathan from South Park.
Do it.
Nathan? No, dude, I can't.
Come on.
I'll do it after.
Dude, I can't look at you, dude.
What? I'm just under the turtle over here. It's my favorite Halloween costume that I've ever worn. All right, that's all you're getting. That's all you're getting. Bleep that, Mick. Bleep that.
Oh, that's so good, dude. Oh, man. Bring up Bungle Carousel, dude. Just do it, dude.
Well, that's what we were talking about. I love that
song. I was going to say something else about Bungle. Oh, portals.
We were just sucking the man's
portal,
dick.
Yeah, portal.
Dude, we were sucking his dick. We always suck Mike Pan's dick on this podcast. But portals. Portals. So is it portal?
Also a good portal band. Or it's portals?
I think it's portal. Have you guys heard the one.
Portal. Yeah. Oh, portals is the second one.
Portals is the second one. So the first game, Portal, he plays a character when you're fighting the end boss. He just plays one of these little orbs that you have to take and throw it in the incinerator, and it's a little orb that you pick up, and it's just like that's all it's doing, and then you have to. That's him.
He loves making those fucking weird ass fucking.
This is a perfect Halloween song, dude.
Oh yeah,
perfect. It's amazing.
It's spooky. It's up there and spooky. You know what? I'm gonna suggest one. I'm gonna have Mick pull one up. That's to me. It reminds me of the season. But you guys are probably gonna call it super gay.
Anything you bring up, I call super gay.
Well, yeah. No, I kind of always expect that. That's why I have no scruples about bringing this up. A New Beginning, I think it's called, by Good Charlotte. Mick, can you pull that up?
Really?
Yeah.
Good Charlotte?
Hell yeah.
What? Explain yeah. yourself.
Explain. Yeah, no, exactly. I already prerequisited this with, yeah, you're gonna call it super gay.
I didn't.
But we were just talking about, like, Tim Burton-y music.
I didn't even fucking hear you because Bungle's playing.
My ears prioritize the more important noises that were being made.
So my bad.
I'm gonna freaking close.
What was that?
I'm gonna clothesline you, dude.
I believe it's called A New Beginning by Good Charlotte.
You're gonna get a flying lariat, dude. You keep wearing that mask.
I honestly think I deserve it, and I'll counter with a RKO out of nowhere. What's up?
I've been looking for a reason to RKO someone. Goddamn.
All right, tell me this isn't very Tim Burton-esque, right? All right,
let's take a listen.
Yeah, I hear it already. Oh, wow. Good Charlotte, huh?
Damn. It's AI.
AI Charlotte.
Freaking 20 years ago. AI
Charlotte. This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF,
A vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, "I found it on The RealReal." Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail? Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Good Shay Ireland. But listen, it kind of kicks in.
I'm digging it so far.
Pretty sick, right?
Wow.
That's pretty sick, right?
I do like it, actually.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying? A little bit of a defensible
fucking
stuff.
Going back to Avenged Sevenfold, speaking of Good Charlotte,
Yeah, they do a song, The River. That song rips.
Oh, my God.
I love that song.
I love that song. Fucking hairs stand up every fucking time,
I love
time,
that
bro.
Song. Yeah,
that song especially rips. When Sin comes in, fucking Aura Farming, dude.
There, that's my Halloween song I brought to the table. There
I
you
like
go.
That, dude. That's a good song.
Not bad, right?
I mean,
not
that bad. Was, I mean, I would have wanted to listen a little more, but that's cool.
Don't even get to the fucking first verse.
now I have to go and listen to it now.
Yeah.
That's actually a good tactic.
I actually might.
Yeah, that's the intro to that record.
That's cool.
Know?
Yeah, that's not bad at
all. That was really nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Enjoyable.
I rather enjoyed that.
So, okay, speaking, since we're trying to segue into, you wanted to talk about movies, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A little bit about, you know, horror movies and stuff, since it's a
motion
Halloween
pictures?
Episode. Motion picture films.
Motion picture cinema?
The talkies is what I hear they call them these days. But,
ask that question right there.
Ask it.
I can't see it.
Oh, shit. That's right.
I'll ask it. What defines a good scary movie?
Let me put my glasses on real quick.
Look at this fucking dork. Nerd.
Now I can see.
Nerd!
Now I can see. I can see everything now.
You're being called nerd by a guy in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Look at this guy. You look like a fucking dumbass.
Fucking dork.
Why you look so stupid?
Oh my God.
So yes, what defines a good scary movie?
That's a good question.
You want to lead us into that there, Johnny?
This is my question. I don't even have an answer fully, but I think what it is, obviously the scare factor is one of them. Okay. I think the scare factor is one of them. It's got to be scary. You know, what's my glasses?
The glasses, man. No, it just, okay. No, I need you to really kind of think hard about this. All right. Let's say you are in Saw and you've been tortured by the guy and the puppet comes in to give you like the note or whatever. But the puppet has fucking those glasses on.
Oh, no, I'm done.
I'm just like, dude, all right, I might be missing my left leg, but that's fucking funny, man.
Comedic relief.
Do you want to play a game? I don't know. Does it involve algebra, dork? What you gotta do is yeah, dude, the push. In the middle of your intimidating horror man speech,
you wanna play a
you
game?
Have to do the glasses push.
Take this knife and then
you have 30 minutes or this will break your jaw in 45
you got
places.
30 minutes. You got 30 minutes to get out of this room.
I think we just solved it. Glasses are fucking dorky forever.
Oh, shit.
So Flipper agrees, apparently.
What defines a good scary movie, I think, is... I'll just say one thing that I think defines it.
No glasses?
Definitely no glasses on the scary character. But I think not jump scares, the opposite of jump scares. So just
slow,
shit,
ominous
shit happening where you're just like, oh shit, that kind of,
yeah,
that's freaky. And I think one of my favorites that does it really well is the first Haunting of Hill House. The first, is it Haunting of Hill House?
I was just talking about
the
that
first
though.
Season.
Yeah.
They do it.
Oh, like the Mike Flanagan one.
very well they do it.
Yeah, Mike Funny.
Do you guys know about all the hidden fucking ghosts in there?
Dude, there's so many, bro. There's probably a bunch that I didn't catch.
I think there was like in the first episode, there was like 12.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember watching and I'm just like, oh, the back. Yeah, there's a guy. Yeah. There's a face or there's this or there's that. You know,
that's tight.
It's so sick. One of the dopest. But the second season, Bly Manor, okay.
I've heard
I'll tell you this
first
right now.
Is good. First season.
I have that first season. I have not watched it. And I'm looking for my creepy shit.
There it is.
That's top of my list now.
Watch it, dude.
That looks good. Watch it. That sounds good.
It's super sick. It's super sick. But that's one of the things to me that defines like horror.
A good horror movie?
Like proper horror. That defines it for me is something that's not jump scares, cameras make, something that's not jump scares, but something that's not, there you go. You can continue the conversation.
I agree with you and I'll take it one step further.
That's my one thing. What's your one thing?
Okay. So to me, like a horror movie is like horrific, right? Mm. So top of my list, and it's kind of always been since I saw it, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just because it related to me in that way. But the remake of The Hills Have Eyes got so far under my skin. Yep. Just like a family on vacation,
they're just trying to hang
and
out.
You watch your family like die and suffer. Yeah. Like that's crazy.
The
that
chick
to me
gets
was
raped
it
and
got
shit by that yeah, fucking weird by a, fucking, yeah the it's crazy.
Nuclear zombie guy whatever. Yeah. But yeah, no, and then they watch their fucking patriarch, the dad, burn alive. Mm-hmm. Like that one,
that's
fucking,
pretty fucking
it,
sick.
To me, it defines like the emotionality a little bit because I relate to some of the characters, and I'm like, oh damn, dude, if that was my sister, if that was my dad, if that was my mom, I was like, oh, so it fucking.
If that was your sister, it would have been me instead of the zombie guy.
Jesus, I know I shouldn't have said sister. The second I say sister, I'm in trouble. But, so yeah, to me, that's okay. So that's one element, but to the same degree, right? During the Halloween season, during like the fall season, I really enjoy, different speeds of horror, right? Let's say, let's like put a spectrum on it, right? You have your Terrifier 3 all the way.
It's like gory.
At
fucking,
the very extreme of the spectrum.
I feel like Terrifier and like Texas Chainsaw and shit all fall under like slasher.
I thought
All Hallows Eve, which introduced art, and then Terrifier 1. I think those are fucking fantastic. I haven't seen the third one. Second was like a little
tell the formula.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Terrifier, I noticed with Terrifier, because I enjoy those movies, and I didn't hear about that until my girl showed me that shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I never watched it. But then when I watched the first one, I was like, this is actually sick. Like, because I grew up watching gore films, you know? So to me, I was like, this is dope. So the first one was really dope. All Hallows Eve was cool. The second one was cool, but how far can we push this gore shit?
Well, I'll tell you, here's what
I love the practical effects.
Here's what I'll say. Is they did it on a low budget. That was the last one they did on a low budget. Mm-hmm. Terrifier 3 had like infamously a bunch of like money behind it.
Yeah,
what's
the name did the special effects?
Mancini.
That's not the name.
Don Mancini? No?
Is that it? Yeah, that's his name.
I'm pretty sure.
Fucking, what's it called? What's the
Terrifier 3?
<What's his name?
laughs> I want to say it's Don Mancini, but I could be drunk and not remembering his name correctly. But, the first ones like that, they introduced a very cool character and they had this like whole like kind of element where basically the formula was the same as Saw, where it's like, how fucked up could we make like a death look? You know what I mean? And that kind of spoke to people in a way that, you know, made it kind of flourish.
I also think Saw should have stopped after 3.
The first 3 are awesome movies, man.
They're sick.
And it's so funny where you really can see that line in Hollywood where you see this is the cash grab. Yeah.
You were close. Tom Savini.
Tom Savini. Damn. Yeah. I am drunk.
And he's a legend.
Yeah.
Fucking legend in the fucking practical special effects world for horror. And he got that dude to do it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. The third one is dope. I liked it a lot.
A good movie. I also kind of enjoy that it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
so
it's
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
It's pretty great.
But to me, like, that's like a very specific, like, speaking to that whole spectrum point I was trying to make, it's like, that's like one end of the spectrum. It's like, all right, let's make a horror movie that's like about.
You look like you're on one
horror.
End of the spectrum right now.
Oh, sorry. I'll speak in the correct voice. So let's make a.
movie about.
But so
you going to hell, boy?
Oh yeah, definitely, dude. I already have my spot picked out and everything.
Front row.
But so there, you know, you have these people who want to make a movie about like how hard can we push the boundaries of special effects and gore and all that stuff. And then in the middle, you have like kind of like the weapons, Silence of the Lambs, scary movies that are suspenseful and kind of like,
yeah, it's a different.
And then there's also this other third category that's like on the lower end of like the scary spectrum. That's like, it lives in that world where I would classify a lot of the ghost story movies in that, like, you know, scary stories tell in the dark and all that kind of stuff, where you could even have PG-13 movies in that.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? So there's like the three speeds, you know what I mean? Okay, it's like easy mode, hard mode, difficult, you know,
It's like the three levels.
Yeah.
So what do you think is one thing that defines a good scary movie then? Because you're kind of saying all these things.
No, I think that's what makes the question difficult. So it's hard for me to decide. I've given you my best example.
Got you.
Yeah, so.
Got you.
Yeah, okay. So like that end of the spectrum, that's what to me it's like, yeah, that's a fucking awesome. But you could still have movies like fucking The Haunting or The Others, and it's like not gory, or it's not, but it's still a pretty good movie.
So I like The Others, actually. That was a pretty cool movie. The Others is
great.
I love freaked me out when I was younger.
I love a good slow burn
right.
in a horror movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll give two examples. The Conjuring,
right,
I think is perfect.
Yeah. The first one? Or
the very first one, front to back, perfect.
Yeah. Great. It had a
beautiful blend of jump scares with just ominous, eerie, heavy feeling to it. Mm-hmm. And not only that, is at the end of the movies, while they're rolling credits, is the actual audio of the exorcisms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when I first saw that in theaters, I sat through that whole fucking thing because I weirdly love that feeling that like something is right fucking under you.
Yeah.
Or behind you, whatever the fuck.
Yeah, it's funny that
I saw your face creepy. And I was like, don't say it.
The first time I watched The Conjuring, it scared me, right? It did scare me. It got me to jump a couple times, like woof. And it, you know, it got under my skin in that way. And I watched it with like my like nieces when they were like probably like 10, 11 and my whole family was watching it. We were at the beach house and we were like, let's watch a movie. And we put on that. And so it sticks in my memory as like such a good movie for that reason. Right. Cause you know, I had that memory attached to it, but also just like you think about the universal nature of a movie like that, where it's like, yeah, some of us were like 50, some of us were 30, some of us were 10, and all of us were like, that movie was fucking dope.
Yeah, that movie you know what I mean? Fucked.
Yeah.
But my second example is, I'm not finished with it, so don't fucking tell me anything.
Okay.
The story of Ed Gein.
I haven't started.
I know that's pretty new, right?
It's, I can't express, I fucking punch a hole in the fucking wall with how fucking good that is. Like,
I gotta watch it.
Bro,
I'm hearing good stuff.
And then it shows you, like, what part of Ed Gein's life inspired what fucking horror movies in the future. And and the cinematography, the storytelling, everything's so fucking beautiful. I'm not trying to spoil it, but everything's so fucking beautiful. And there's certain scenes that are like slow camera panning, and it's like it creeps you the fuck out. Especially when you see him do certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
When you see him do certain things, that you know, it's not a secret. But I'm trying not to spoil it. When he does certain things, you're like, that's completely fucked up. and then not only that is things look so fucking real, like. It's jarring.
Yeah, I can't wait to watch this.
Is it a series or
it's a show?
It's
a
series. Isn't I think it, it's eight episodes.
Eight eps.
Every episode is perfect.
Isn't it created by the same guy that did the
monsters? Fucking, the Jeffrey, monsters Dahmer, Jeffrey Dahmer. The fucking
it's that guy.
Twins or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
This
it's same
gonna,
guy.
It's going to be very fucking hard for them to top this because. Charlie Hunnam is not Charlie Hunnam anymore.
Yeah, that's
like,
awesome.
For the rest of his life, people are going to be calling him Ed Gein. That's how that's well great. He did.
Yeah.
He's no longer Jax.
Yeah.
People aren't going to be like, oh, that's Jax Teller.
I don't know who Charlie Hunnam is.
He's the guy. He's Sons of Anarchy.
Jax
the
Teller.
The blonde guy.
Yeah.
So I knew him from a show called Undeclared.
Okay.
I've known him from
he was
like,
in Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I already knew him as those things. So now if he's Ed Gein
He's King Arthur, too.
Oh, that's right.
but now people are going to be like, oh,
that's who he is.
In the future, whatever role, they're going to be like, oh, Ed Gein's in this fucking movie now.
I have to watch the show because one of our friends from DNG actually knows all my band members, and I met him through the band and stuff. He's actually an actor in that show.
What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know who he plays. I don't know nothing. But he's fucking hanging out with DNG all the time. His name's Cameron. He's like on CSI and shit.
That's so shit.
Yeah, I want to get him on the pod too.
Yeah, I don't. He's a fun guy. I don't mean to like overhype the show, but this is my personal experience.
I've heard the same thing from everybody.
Because I've heard other people say that it's boring as fuck, and I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. But at the same time, look at us. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like what? You guys would actually thoroughly enjoy it because right. You know you have to be a little fucked up in the head to be like, damn, this is really fucking good.
You're telling me Anthony looks fucked up?
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. You know what I love most about the holidays? Giving gifts. But not just any gifts. Real gifts. Thoughtful gifts. Oh my God, how did you know gifts? That's why I love gift shopping with The Real Real. The Real Real is the most trusted name in authenticated luxury resale. And it's a holiday shopping secret I'm going to let you in on. Whether it's a surprisingly affordable, pristine condition bag for your BFF, a vintage find that's cool enough for the Gen Zer in your life, or even something your impossible to shop for dad will love. Get used to saying, I found it on The Real Real. Seriously, with over 10,000 new arrivals dropping every day from brands like Gucci, Fendi, Prada, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany & Co., and Cartier, there's guaranteed to be something for everyone on your list. Oh, and did I mention everything's up to 90% off retail?
Get $25 off your first purchase at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com to get your $25 off. TheRealReal.com.
Anthony with
this. You know, Johnny, love that shit I'm more than tired of you talking about me that way.
You know what I realize your mouth looks like right now? Do you know the world's strongest man, Brian Shaw? You look like Brian Shaw mouth, dude.
That's so funny. I know who Brian Shaw is. Damn. So we have Brian Shaw here.
Special guest, Brian Shaw.
Special fucking cameo by Brian Shaw.
And by special guest, we mean.
We got there.
Special
guest. What time
guest.
Are we at, Mick?
Fuck.
That's so funny, dude.
Do you know what time we're at? Oh, nice. Sweet. Perfect timing. Look at this.
Hi, guys. Do you know I'm going to go ahead and talk about myself now. No?
That right. Yeah, there you go.
I'm just a lonely head right now.
So lonely head. What is your opinion on scary movies?
Well, first, I think if I had both my eyes, I'd be able to watch scary movies a little bit better. But since I don't got both my eyes, it's kind of hard to watch a scary movie. My lips ain't moving.
Yeah, I really don't give a shit about your opinion, head. I think that your opinion means nothing to me at this point.
Yeah, well,
Demon, what do you think, Demon?
Well, you're a retard, so who cares what you say?
Yeah, you just cut that shit out, motherfucker.
Thank you, Demon.
Come on, man.
I knew I wasn't alone on that.
Demon's all fucking gangster now.
Demon's always been
a rough year, dog.
He's been gangster as fuck forever.
You've been hanging out with Tupac too much down there.
Nah.
Oh, shit. You guys want to talk about this fucking Ian Watkins guy or what?
Oh, shit. I thought
I'm
we
down.
Were
you know more about it than I do.
We're not going to cut yet. It's okay. only an hour in.
We got about 20 minutes.
Yeah, about another 20 minutes. Yeah. This would be a good thing to end on. And maybe end with a small voice and Callus. We'll end with that.
Oh,
play it at the end. But Mick, bring it up. Ian Watkins. He was the vocalist of Lost Prophets, right? You guys remember that band?
This story is so spooky.
The spooky part. There is a spooky part about it. There is a a thing about it because he, you know, he's a bad man. A very bad man.
Now you just want the headline.
Yeah, whatever. Read something.
Do you think that that a ghost who dies, you know how they say it's like, you know, when a ghost dies, it's like they have unfinished business, right? Right?
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
Is that like...
How you gonna kill a ghost?
How you gonna kill a ghost?
I will pose your question. I will answer your question with another question. Who are you gonna call? He's like,
That makes perfect sense.
How you gonna wake up dead?
How you gonna wake up dead?
First scary movie?
Because if you... I wish I knew that whole fucking thing, dude.
Did we get in there? Did we get in there?
That's the best. Yeah. All right, so two men have been arrested after pedophile Lost Prophets singer Ian Watkins died after being attacked in prison.
Jeez.
That is a long-winded...
About fucking time.
That's what happens when you are a pedophile.
That's what happens when you diddle.
That's when...
All right, Watkins, 48, was serving a 29-year jail term for sexual offenses, including serious crimes against young children and babies.
No.
Damn.
29
Don't
years.
Don't call him a rock star.
So,
fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's not a rock star.
My
he's
question.
A bitch.
Pop me. I don't
my question still stands.
Mm-hmm. Fucking diddling kids, dude.
Dead
are you
pedophiles.
Kidding me?
Are they immediately. Is there any pedophile ghosts? You think?
Damn, bro. I've never thought about that.
The thing about a pedophile ghost is you can't rearrest them.
I know.
Is that why my nuts are getting flicked when I was younger? The fuck, dude?
Yeah. It was either that. I think I heard one. Hold on. I think I just heard one right now.
Shit. It was either a pedophile ghost or my uncle. But he had
babality.
29 years and 10 months imprisonment plus 6 years on extended license. So it was attempted rape and sexual assault of a child under 13. Sexual assault involving 3 children.
What the fuck?
This is hilarious.
Taking,
stuff.
Making, or possessing indecent images of children. Six counts. Possessing an extreme pornographic image involving a sex act on an animal.
On an animal?
Yeah. Possession.
I didn't know that.
Possession, possessing an extreme.
That's where you draw the line?
No, wait. Possession of mobile phone in prison. That was also
what?
One.
What was it up?
Possession of mobile phone in prison? That's the last one they list?
That's what he
like, all of this stuff, and then guess what, guys? He also had a fucking cell phone.
That's why they killed him. You're like, why does he get a cell phone?
Does he get a contact? Give me that fucking phone. That's hey, why son, guys- that jacket's tight. Y'all know what I mean?
That cell phone is tight, son. Y'all know what I mean?
Run that shit.
Run that shit.
That's fucked up.
He got stabbed by a couple of heroes in prison, I'll say, you know.
Honestly, it took too fucking long to get there.
I've said it before and I'll say it again.
Yeah, how long ago did he get?
A lot of our heroes are in prison.
He was in that shit. He was in there for like 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Data apprehended 2012.
12?
Yeah, that took way too long.
I feel like that was a long time ago.
Fucking long. Like, what?
What is this band even doing anymore?
Well, no, this is going to be my next point. I was basically going to say that there's your proof right there that... You have to really.
Proof is in the pudding.
You really have to if you're going to do that. If you're going to do that, you really have to be a lot better at music.
Yeah. You have to be fucking. That's oh true. Man, I remember when Art.
I mean, we still talk with about MJ with reverence, you know.
You can do it if you get away with your MJ. You can get away with it,
dude. What? R. Kelly is in prison for all the shit
R.
he
Kelly
did,
got,
and people still play.
They still fucking
because
he made fucking Ignition,
the
bro.
Ignition remix, dude. They'll fucking toss it
the
on.
The first time he was fucking the first time he had allegations.
Yeah,
they're fucking. Like, you're gonna need to do something to make these people forget. And he made fucking Ignition, and everyone was like, "Damn, dude."
I'm fairly positive.
Why were we mad at you
right now? If we go to the nearest bar that's doing karaoke. And yeah. I sing I Believe I Can Fly.
Oh,
everyone will sing it with
me. Yeah, everybody's
in
down.
This costume, I could do it.
Son of a bitch.
That's crazy, though. That is actually, that's the crazy parallel when it comes to fucking music.
That man had to have been in a ward with a bunch of other fucking pedophiles because why the fuck? Did it
How
take
does
so
that work?
Fucking long?
And, I mean, I know jails are privatized and
that's
all this.
True.
So there's definitely ways to like kind of like finagle with people you know how you know like, oh yeah I'll be in solitary and assure your safety. I know that's a thing that exists.
Yeah, but
when
he
it
wasn't
comes
even
down
that fucking big to be in that fucking special treatment.
Well, it probably boils down to him like being able to be, you know, kind of like ubiquitous enough, like you know where people didn't know who he was.
You
for
just
long
learned that
enough.
Word or something.
Ubiquitous.
How you spell that?
That's your third time saying it.
Did I say that today 3 times? I must be drunk. Him being associated with any of those charges, he probably didn't have that reputation for a long enough time until people did find out what he did, and that's why they finally got him.
I mean, yeah, that's it's kind of crazy. Like, you can't fucking.
I was gonna say, big panda Johnny, real quick. Oh my god! What kind of scary mask is that?
I'm not even. This is my regular face, Anthony.
You look like Genghis Khan now, dude.
I'm ready to rape and pillage. Yeah, that's actually crazy, though. I mean, hey, that's what happens. Can't be fucking around with fucking kids and then go to prison and expect to live forever.
Just stop diddling and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Yeah, for real.
Do I have to say it?
What? Say it.
No, not everybody gets got.
Everybody gets
literally. We're sitting on the fucking just like last week. Fucking what were the charges that P. Diddy got fucking pulled up on? None of the sex trafficking shit.
Yeah, none of that got.
None of
that shit got hit.
You got enough money, you'll get away with fucking whatever you want to do.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. I need to make more money then.
Go ahead and bleep that.
edit.
Yeah, no. I mean, I find it crazy, man. Like, there's a lot of stuff like that in the world where it's just like we like ignore it like it's a thing, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, people fucking forgave Chris Brown.
That's true, and he smacked the shit out of Rihanna.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
She looks like a woman that'd be mouthing off.
I was literally about to say, like, you know what's like, I don't like saying stuff like this often, but Rihanna looks like the type of chick that would like
just
really
off.
Fucking uh-huh. push you to that limit. Uh-huh. Like, oh man, I've never hidden a chick before, but oh my god!
I've literally about that fucking forehead.
I've literally heard an argument like when I was living in apartments in Ontario. It was like we got woken up like at like 6 a.m. And like there was an argument going on, and the lady was telling her boyfriend who was like paying for the apartment. She was like, "Yeah, motherfucker, that's why I cheat on you, because you got a little baby dick."
Oh, that's Rihanna,
dude. You know a woman like that is like, dude, you're crossing some lines right now. I am being considerate, like. All right.
So what Anthony's saying is that Rihanna deserved it.
Justified.
That's what he's saying. Some are justified, some are not.
We
don't know the story.
Either. I never once said the word story. Justified, all right? That was both of you guys.
Exactly what you said. I didn't say that. That's what I heard.
I didn't say that. You can't prove that. My mouth isn't even moving right now.
Yeah, no, but we've all met that girl, that girl who's like a problem where it's like, dude, this
I'm
is going to go south.
Her.
Oh, okay. That's a clip. Clip it. Clip it and tag his girlfriend.
That's freaking funny. So
what's the D4VDs?
You don't remember that guy, David?
Oh, we already talked about it.
We just briefly went over it. We didn't like, we were going to follow it, but we didn't even go over it in the last podcast.
Is there more developments?
Basically, they found him not guilty.
What?
I think that was the last
thing
I read.
It was in your trunk, dog. The body was in your trunk. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, dude.
I'm not an official, dude. I don't fucking know.
If you have enough money.
Things work.
If you have enough money.
If your fucking label has enough money. Fuck.
See, it says the David story refers to a 2025 criminal investigation where the decomposed body of a teenage girl identified as 15-year-old Celeste Rivas was found in a trunk of a Tesla registered to the singer David, real name David Anthony Burke. The car was towed from a street in Los Angeles after it was reported abandoned. The singer has been cooperating with an investigation, but no arrests have been made. The incident has led him to cancel his U.S. European tours. I remember reading something saying that pretty much he's like good, but I haven't read it much. It was like maybe 3-4 days ago when I read that.
Jeez.
So there is a 2 days ago thing. Let me see what this says.
Yeah, that's that's wild.
This is all four turtles.
Now he's down to Tello, dude.
Fucking.
Yeah, no, I don't mean to laugh about that story. That's not what I'm laughing about. But yeah, no, that's insane. That to me is insane. It just shows, it's one of the other glaring examples of in my lifetime that I've seen. If you have enough money, you are untouchable. You don't have to, you could just manipulate the law system.
Mm-hmm. You can do whatever you want if you have money. I'm not going to sit here and read this whole thing, but
I was about to say, like, what are you doing?
So we're doing The Ring, or we're doing Small Voice?
Yeah, let's check it out. Let's check it out. So explain this little collab a little bit.
I don't know, man. I'm a nerd.
Okay.
And James came to me. He was like, hey, bro. He goes, hey, bro. Clearly. He was like, hey, bro, I'm doing a... he said, do you like Lord of the Rings? I'm going to restart that for the fucking edit, because what the fuck was that sentence?
Oh, we're not editing none of this.
Oh. I'm so glad I didn't say some things then. James from Small Voice, he is Small Voice. He does the same thing I do.
Oh, okay.
He writes and records all his own shit. So he came to me and he's like, hey, bro, I want to collaborate with you on a song, and I'm down to collaborate with anybody. So he said, do you like Lord of the Rings? And I was like, yeah, I do, actually. My favorite is probably fucking the second one, and then the ending, the second half of the fucking third one. Mm-hmm. Because that battle is fucking amazing. Anyway.
All I do is walk on that movie, but go ahead.
So.
I said I skipped the first one,
so
right?
So he said the song is sort of based around the third movie, which was his favorite. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down. And I came over to his house. We started spitballing through lyrics and stuff. And The Ring is.
Oh, The Ring. Yeah, yeah.
The Ring is Lord of the Rings. Yeah, right. But okay. We can't say Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. I'm excited. I really didn't know this was about that.
Yeah, bro. Look at the fucking, look at the artwork.
And the music.
That's the Shire, dude. Oh, the Shire's at the end.
What? You guys did another song, right? Wasn't there a music video?
We did a tiny video for this song.
Okay, got you. Okay, I know I saw something about that.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So how do you go about doing something like this? He brings you a track, you add this or that.
I went over to his house, and we were writing these lyrics together. Mm-hmm. And he put me in his booth, and I just did my thing. This is completely both of us together. Oh, I did this next part coming up.
And you went to his studio like that, dressed like that?
Yeah. He was a little weirded out, but yeah.
Ooh, like that. That's a good stop.
I've already heard a couple lyrics that are very, kind of Lord of the Rings.
Nerdy.
Reference-y, yeah.
Yeah.
Sick.
The ending breakdown is my favorite fucking part.
That's where it goes in?
Yeah, we get real hardcore on that one.
Yeah, that's very Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
the fucking Dorians. Yeah.
It's
fucking sick. I want a headband now, dude.
You should address that as Ninja Turtle, dude. There you go.
The sound that thing is making.
Not a nice guy, dude. Oh, wait, here we go.
Yeah. Ding, ding. Okay.
Ooh, he has the shocker.
Mountain. That's what I told you, he's fucking... rocking two in the pink, one in the stink.
He succumbs to the power of the ring. The ring disintegrates.
Ooh.
Fuck yeah. That's all him, dude.
Good. Yeah, I like that.
That's sick as fuck, yeah.
That shit's heavy. The cool thing about this,
man, we gotta do that another one, bro.
Yeah, definitely should make a little fucking Lord of the Rings EP and shit, you know, just like this style, you know. And
I think
and,
we're gonna like dive into like I think we joked about like a
Star Wars
like
next?
Like lore EP.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It was like a Lord of the Rings, maybe yeah. Star Wars for example, yeah. Shit like that.
That would be kind of
that
cool.
Would be fucking sick.
Yeah, that would be kind of sick actually.
See, I want to do one like Lord of the Flies.
The single is going to be called "Piggy Gets Hit in the Head with a Rock."
Damn right it does.
I don't mind that.
All right, I think that's cool. Rap time. Yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
It's about rap time.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes here, and that's it.
All right. You want to go around plugs, starting with our guest?
Yeah. Callus, make sure you just, give your plugs. Let us know.
All your links, all your stuff that's popping right now.
Yeah.
Right. So my Instagram is at _callusofficial_. I also want to say that I have the album written, recorded. I just need to send it out for editing, mixing, and mastering, because I know a couple months ago, before fucking Ozzy died, I told everybody that things were going to come out soon, but that kind of put a damper on me. I didn't know the guy, but damn, it fucking hurt. Mm. And then just recently, which created more of a blockage, is I recently went through a family disaster. I lost somebody very close to me. I've been taking some time for myself to get myself back into the mindset state of doing everything, because oh god, my health took a fucking toll. But yeah, I'm feeling a little bit more myself these days, and I'll be getting something out very soon. My producer has been super patient, and he's been very fucking loving, I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's amazing. So yeah, that's what I have going on in my personal life right now. And expect the Callus EP coming out probably next year.
You said that's _Callus_?
_Callus_official_.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice, cool. Nice. Anything else you wanna let them know about real quick? Or you good?
I pretty much said everything. I'm really sorry for the fucking delay. If you were holding your breath at all, like, you know, I have very few people talking to me regularly. I have a very few following, but those little bits of people, that tiny group that talk to me, that even check in on me, even though they don't even know me. You know, I appreciate you guys so much. It means more than anything to have people, you know, reaching out, and because they don't know anything about me. They don't know what I look like. They don't know me personally. Mm-hmm. You guys all know me on a more personal level than they do.
Right.
And these people actually give a shit, and that's what this album's for. It's for you guys.
Nice. That's awesome.
Awesome.
That's great.
Awesome.
That's great. Go ahead, Anthony.
So I'm going to be playing a show on October 19th with Witch the Band. I believe that's like a high desert show. I'm sorry, I don't know the name. I looked for
on Halloween Day.
Okay, so that was such a good show that I just played on October 19th, and I just want to tell you. But yeah, no. Obviously, I have my other projects. The computer cheats. Follow that on Instagram. Just literally. It's the only thing that pops up when you look up the computer cheats.
That show was tight. Thousands. There were thousands of them.
He was there.
I was there.
Yeah, it was awesome. Just fun show. Sorry you guys missed it. I'll obviously follow Witch the Band. Follow my solo Instagram, and that's Ranthony, and that's it. That's all I got.
Demon, go ahead. I'll close it out.
Demon, where's he at? Oh, we gotta summon him. Oh, there he is.
There he is, Demon. Demon, what do you got?
I have arrived.
You have brought me back. You can find my real body at No Bits Given on Instagram and TikTok. Thank you for tuning into these two podcasts. Hit that like and subscribe button down below.
Happy Halloween, and we love you.
Take us out, Johnny.
All right. Appreciate you guys for watching another episode of The Stool Podcast, episode 50, on Halloween Day. Thank you for watching. This has been a fun episode. I appreciate Callister coming through and hanging out and watching, and not watching, but doing this episode with us. It's been a great one. It's super fun. You can find me on everything at Johnny Savage, JONNYSAVAG, without the H in Johnny, without the E in Savage, on Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. Find my band, DNG Heavy. And that's pretty much it. The Dunce Official on right here on Instagram and YouTube. The Dunce everywhere. You can find us. Appreciate you guys. Everybody has been watching the podcast lately and been leaving comments, good and bad. We appreciate you. Mostly want bad comments. So
those are the funner ones.
Those are the funner ones.
Fun comments or bad comments.
Yeah, exactly. So appreciate y'all watching and listening. If you're listening, make sure you do like and subscribe, as Demon said. And that is all. Thank you again for hanging out with us.
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
Yeah!
I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping.
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.